on radio, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP Financial President, Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Friday edition of Invest Talk. It's April 24, 2015. We're dedicated to enable you to become above-average investors. That's what we want to do. And we do rely on your input, by the way. It's not just me. Your input is very important. We like to answer questions, and we like to respond and get that information. And we try to broaden out the information as much as we can, even if you ask about individual stocks. But it is you are an integral part of the show. We're counting down to tomorrow's Saturday Morning Wealth Conference, San Jose Hyatt House. We'll be there at 9 to noon tomorrow. We're all getting on a plane after work, after this show, actually, tonight. I will be leaving for the airport as soon as the show is done and heading on up with Justin and several other members of the crew. So we hope to see you tomorrow morning. We're all going to talk. We're going to look about global investing, not just the United States, but maybe looking out for some opportunities somewhere else. And I think, how you can reduce some of your risk here in the United States. If you remember right, not too long ago, 2 years ago, 2.5 years, I don't even know if you remember, but I was talking about you need to come back to the United States, stay in the United States, stay in the United States. Don't go outside the United States. I mean, and then we had conferences on why. Well, now I'm saying not necessarily leave the United States, but maybe we're seeing, a cycle change a little bit that outside the United States there might be some opportunities that you should be looking at. Find opportunities in foreign and domestic, as well as emerging markets, and even frontier markets. So in addition to finding growth in foreign and emerging markets, there's the question of diversity. When you add foreign investments to your portfolio, you're adding diversity. You're protecting yourself to some degree. But just also, I want to make sure we get this point across tomorrow that when you're talking about investing outside the United States, there's additional risk, and the risk level is higher. So you also want the reward level to be high to take that additional risk. But in essence, it does also diversify your portfolio. So I hope you can be there. We're going to talk about foreign stocks. We're going to show you some stocks. We're going to show you a list of few individual stocks besides give you a list of ETFs. And we're going to compare foreign markets with our market, the fundamentals of our market versus the fundamentals of foreign market. It's not going to be rocket science. I think we're going to keep it pretty, light. We're not going to get too deep into it, but we're going to give you some good, solid information. What's going on with currencies and what kind of risks is there? What's happening with the QE everywhere else that's happening in the world? Where is it and what is it doing to us? What is it doing to foreign markets? So we'll be discussing all those issues tomorrow morning. It's the San Jose Hyatt House, 9 to noon. I hope you can make it. You can sign up at investtalk.com. Here at InvestTalk, we try to answer your questions with our 24-hour listen line. Or you can talk to us live Monday through Friday, 4 to 5 Pacific time. The number is 888-99-CHART, and you can always reach us anytime.
Hello, Steve and Justin. My name is Angela. I'm a resident of England at this moment and have been an expat for 10 years in Europe. I'm getting some money soon, and I'd like to start investing it, potentially with a mutual fund, but I'm not sure if I should do this within the United States, England, or where I lived in the Netherlands. I don't know which country I plan to retire in and what is the best advice you can give me about starting out my investments. Enjoy the show. Thank you very much.
Well, great. I hope you're enjoying your expat life there. I hope so. I would suggest that you not concentrate in any one spot. I do like the United States. Fundamentally, long-term, kind of where you want to be. But also, I think Europe is going to be turning around. We're going to talk about this tomorrow at the Wealth Conference. I think Europe is a pretty decent place to be. And I also think you need to think about Asia. So, there's, I think you need to probably put them in I put them in index funds, both here in the United States, maybe the S&P 500, have a chunk of it there, a chunk of in Asia, and a chunk in Europe. Now, you can also get country-specific, and there's ETFs that you can invest in specific countries and their stock market. But I don't want to say the United States is not a place to be, because I think it is a place to be. I'm just saying, relatively speaking, there are some opportunities where you are in Europe. Now, people might say, well, wait a minute, their economy is not doing very good. Well, yeah, but they got that huge QE going on, $1 trillion QE, trillion euro QE, and I can't see how it wouldn't work very much like our QE. What did our QE do here in the United States? It inflated asset prices. So I be diversified. I diversify and make sure you have some exposure to Europe and Asia. Make sure. That's what I would do. Worried about bond fund risks? We know all that. If interest rates rise, that's a risk to a bond fund, right? Well, we're going to have some tips on using past performance of bond funds, portfolio data about bond funds, and yields to maturity, and what to look for on trouble spots. How to do that. That's going to be our main talking point today. Also, I saw this article about, and a book that's coming out about myths in the market, or myths when it comes to retirement and saving for retirement. And so they have these myths that I kind of think they're wrong. They have a myth and then the truth about the myth. Well, I want to talk about that because I'm not sure I agree with them. And there's a lot of gray areas that they don't really talk about. So I want to talk about that if we can get to it. Eurozone warns Greece that they're not going to give them any cash until they have a full reform deal. I think this is going to... Excuse me. Greece is going to blow up in some way. I can't... It's hard for me to believe that it's going to be a smooth sailing situation. So I want to talk about that, and should we all worry about that? Remember a couple, 3 years ago, it really affected the market. Is it going to do so again? Most popular places to retire to. Now, this is popularity, where people want to retire to. I'm not talking about the cheapest or where they have the best medical care or where they have, I'm just talking about where people actually go. I have 10 places, and of those places, you'd be amazed how concentrated they are. And none of the 10 are in California, where I live, I can tell you that. None of them. None. But all of them are in the Sun Belt. Kind of interesting. So I will talk about those. These are cities, all of the cities that have people flocking to in retirement, which I totally understand. I totally get it. So that's what we're going to talk about. Any other talking points you want to discuss? Be happy to do it. Give us a call. The market was up again today, and the NASDAQ led the way again. The Dow is up 22, the NASDAQ up 36, and the S&P up 5. Now, the NASDAQ is clearly a new high. Clearly. The Dow isn't. The Dow is the laggard, which I find interesting. The NASDAQ should lead. That's what it should be doing. And the NASDAQ now, from 2000 to the date, has now clearly above its old high. Now, it's not extremely above its old high from 2000, but it is clearly above it. It's taken 14 plus years to get there. Now, is the Dow and the S&P at their new highs? Well, their new highs were made in December, just last December. And the Dow is not approaching that. It's going up, but it's not. It's got some more work to do. And the S&P is right there at that old high. So I think the S&P is up like 1%, 1.5% for the year from its high in late December. I think it was December 31st was the high. And the Dow is down 1% or so from that high. And the S&P is up 2.5%, something like that for the year, maybe 3%. I'm not sure. I didn't do the math. But that's kind of where you are. So if your portfolio is not doing well, don't be surprised. Most mutual funds are not doing well so far this year. Now, there is simply no doubting the benefits of foreign securities in your portfolio. But there are risks. Do you know the three levels of foreign investment risk? Let's talk about that. 888-99-CHART is how you reach me right now. So are you worried about bond fund risks? Well, there's ways to try to mitigate those. And, you know, we've had a very long, since 1981, bull market in bond funds. Since 1981. Just so you know, the U.S. long-term bond back then, 30-year bond, was paying 15% yield. 15%. So what was that, 35 years or so, the interest rates have been declining. And did you know that it's not unusual? There's 30-plus year cycles in interest rates up and down, going back several hundreds of years. It's not unusual. So one of the problems you have when I talk to people, they say, well, why didn't I buy this bond fund? Look how well it's done. They're looking backward. Okay, looking backward, yeah, you can go back and say, hey, these bond funds have done really well. Yeah, they have. Because interest rates have gone down. The question you have to ask yourself is interest rates going to continue to go down? Now, short term, they might. Short term meaning 6 months, a year, maybe even 2 years. But I don't think long term they're going to go down because the Fed has said they're going to raise rates. Now, I'm not convinced they're going to raise them anytime soon. No, maybe not even this year. It depends on the economies and if they turn around and jobs and you know, they always leave themselves out. They've said they're going to start raising rates this year, but they always leave themselves out. So I am not convinced they're going to do it. I think they will raise them this year, but not by a lot. But we're talking about bonds. So how do you analyze bonds? Well, one way to do this is look at the bond funds that you're interested in and look at the very few times that interest rates bond funds have underperformed and interest rates have gone, you know, they've done poorly. And see if your bond fund did poorly during that same period. Okay? For instance, in 2008 when the market crashed, junk bonds crashed with it. So you can look at your bond funds and see how they did. If they held up well in 2008 compared to the market, then that's probably a decent bond fund. Now, another way you can mitigate risk, you can have look at total return and have moderate range of maturities. Don't go out very far. You know, 1 to maybe 5 years. And then ladder them so that when the new bond, when it comes due, you can always reinvest it into a longer-term bond with a higher yield when interest rates start to rise. That's called a ladder. Consider floating rate bonds where the rates inside the bond fund floats. Always have some high quality. Don't go to junk. Junk is very risky at this point, in my opinion. Stay away from junk bonds. Stay with the high quality. And if you feel that if inflation's coming around, you can try some of your tips. Keep your maturities short and ladder them. That's the best advice I can give you. Find bond funds that do that. It's easy to register for a Saturday Morning Wealth Conference, especially since it's tomorrow. It's getting kind of late. I want to see you there. And most people find these things enjoyable. I do. And I got some very interesting information to share. I think, you know, if you have any interest in the market, you'll want to see this. It's 3 hours, tomorrow morning, 9 to 12, at the Hyatt House in San Jose. To sign up, just go to investtalk.com.
Thanks again for subscribing to our podcast. Coming up on the next Invest Talk, baby boomers are buying annuities in record numbers, but they may not fully understand the purchase. Annuities are tempting. That's our talking point for Monday, April 27th, and we hope you'll listen then.
888-99-CHART. InvestTalk is a two-way conversation. But if you have a question between programs, you can still ask. You know, we'll play it on the next InvestTalk. We're listening to you. We're here for you at 888-99-CHART.
Great program, and I want to thank you for that. I've got a question. I recently heard financial-type people on TV being interviewed on financial TV, and they seemed to be talking about moving into what they said were undervalued cyclicals. If you could please define cyclicals for me and maybe identify a couple and any good ETFs that would address that if you think that is an appropriate area to be moving into. Thank you very much. Thanks again. Bye-bye.
Sure, no problem. Whenever you hear on a financial show or read it in a newspaper or a magazine about cyclical stocks, what they're referring to is the economic cycle and those stocks that go up and down with the economic cycle. I'll give you an example of a few. Automobile car company. Car companies are very, very cyclical. When the economy is expanding, they usually have higher sales, they go up. When the economy is shrinking, they usually sales go down, they go down. What's not a cyclical stock? Utilities. They're not cyclical. People still use utilities no matter what the economy does. Yeah, maybe a little less, but they're considered non-cyclical. So are drug companies. So are many companies where products like Procter & Gamble, toilet paper, toothpaste, shampoo, all that kind of stuff is not cyclical. What is cyclical is those things that those sales go down when the recession hits and they go up when the growth and those stocks follow it. That's what they mean by cyclical stocks. And no, I cannot give you an ETF of a cyclical stock. I can't. I don't know anything off the top of my head. And I can't recommend any stocks, you know, over the airways because the SEC won't let me. They have a rule that says you have to know your client before you can advise or give them advice on what to buy. Well, I can't know people over the airways. I can't. You know who can give you all kinds of advice? People like Cramer, because they don't manage anybody's money. You can say whatever you want. But when you start managing money, now you got rules, just so you know. It's not like I don't want to. It's that I can't. But I can answer any questions like about a stock, but only if you bring it up. And I can't say, you bring it up, I can talk about it. But I cannot give you a list, just so you know. 888-99-CHART is our number, 888-992-4278. So, Greece is back in the news. We all know what's going on there. They had a new government they elected, if you don't know, and that new government is very liberal, and they don't want to have anything to do with austerity. They would rather not have it. Problem is they're broke, and they're using other people's money to live on, okay? And so the agreement was, well, if you reform your economy and get it, do something about that, then we'll lend you the money. Well, now they don't want to do it anymore. The agreements they have, they meaning Greece, doesn't want to do it anymore. So what happened is the EU finance ministers said just today that, you know what, if you don't have a full reform plan agreed to, you're not going to get any more money. We're done. Now, Greece has to make a payment by May 12th of $750 million on the money that's already been loaned. And there's about 750 million euros, and there's like 7 billion euros dedicated to give Greece that the rest of the EU, the finance minister, ECB, they said, well, no, we're not going to give you, not unless you come up with a plan. So we're coming up on May 12th, a payment of $750 million. Are they going to be in default on their bonds? Now, some people think that they can make that payment. Some people think they can't. It looks like June, like the 1st of June is kind of a deadline here. Now, they can just muddle through and the EU could agree with this or that or the IMF and International Monetary Fund or the ECB, European Central Bank. These are the people who are loaning the money. They can, like, give them short-term breathers and stuff. That can happen. They can muddle on and hope that their economy turns around. But chances are very high that's not going to happen. Either there's going to be an agreement, And the EU and all those parties are going to agree to some watered down, some kind of watered down reforms, or Greece is going to, they're going to go to Plan B. Plan B means Greece, you're out. Now, it's not nearly going to be impactful because most of the banks in Greece and most of Greek's debt is through banks in Greece. The government's debt is backed by the banks in Greece. Not, and it, there probably won't be very much ripple effect if those banks go under. Probably not. And the question is there going to be a ripple effect of other weak countries wanting to get out of the EU? And the threat of that is kind of gone very minimal from the last time, 2-3 years ago. I don't think, I don't think there's much to worry about. It's going to be make our markets volatile. That's what it will do, but I don't know if it really impacts anything. Index funds are not all the same, even those that track the same index. We talked about this yesterday. Remember? We're going to talk about it again. We've got some important questions to ask about index funds, and that's coming up on InvestTalk 101.
InvestTalk is all about above-average investing for the average investor. How do you prepare your retirement plan for a volatile market? Talk about it now, 888-99-CHART.
Let's talk to Bill in Petaluma. How you doing, Bill?
Good. And you? Happy Friday.
I'm doing good. Appreciate it.
Good. I wanted to ask you a question about General Electric. I realize that it's a giant ship and turns very slowly, but I think they might be doing that. What I wanted to ask you was regarding an entry point. What do you look at? One-year chart? Can you... trying to follow you along here.
Okay. I start with a one-year chart, and I look for support and resistance. If I'm worried about a correction in the market, like I kind of am now, I look for support, a lower number support. For instance, on General Electric, which we're talking about, it has bounced off of about $24 a couple, three times in the last 1 year. So I look at a one-year chart, and that looks like good, strong support for General Electric. Right now, it's at 26.80, got up to almost 28.64 or so, something like that, and it's come down a little bit. So that's where it is now. If it looks like it will go down to about 26.27, that looks like support too, because that's kind of a high mark that has been several times this year that it seems to. It went down to and hell and or came up to and then traded off. But then it broke through about a month ago. Okay?
Yeah.
So now I'm saying, okay, it's probably going to go back down to that $26, $25 to $26.25, somewhere around there. And that will probably, that's going to be support. But if I'm more nervous, which I kind of am, I would rather see you go down to about 2380 to 2390, somewhere in that range, which is the lower points today. Now,
I see that.
Yeah, okay, so it's really, reading charts, Bill, is kind of an art. It's not a science. All you're looking at is, what did people do previously? That's what you're looking at. And what happens is people like me look at it and we make it happen. Because we say, hey, that's support, let's buy. So that's all this is. This is the psychology of buying and selling. Long-term, GE, General Electric, is making a change. They're getting rid of their most of their financial arm. It's going to take several years to do that. And they're going back to their basics.
That's what I thought, and that seems like a smart move.
I think so.
For shareholders, anyway. Yeah.
I think so. And meanwhile, they pay 3.4% dividend. That's not going to go away.
Exactly, right. Yeah. So it pays me to wait. I appreciate what you told me there.
Okay, Bill, good. Hopefully it works. Thank you for the call. Appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Yeah, so reading charts or finding that, and all that, and you're reading a chart, all you're doing is looking at past activities by investors and traders. And they tend to make it happen over and over and over again. They tend to. Now, when you're in a screaming bear market or screaming bull market, well, it doesn't really help you much. But something like GE, and you're going to buy it for the long term, you can be patient. You can buy it right at this price today. If you're patient enough, it'll go up. Probably be fine. But I think it's a little pricey right now, and I'd probably wait. GE, General Electric, everybody. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. You've heard me on this show say many times that I feel much more comfortable telling you that when you're in retirement, you probably shouldn't have a mortgage, okay? Well, there is someone who wrote a book and who's kind of saying that that's a myth. Well, one, he says, paying off a mortgage as soon as you can, a myth. Well, when you put the words as soon as you can, that kind of bothers me. They say the truth is stretching out your mortgage can make a lot of sense. Cash flow is king in retirement. Paying off your mortgage is counterproductive to cash flow in retirement. Well, kind of. Wait a minute. We have no income in retirement, and maybe you shouldn't have a mortgage in retirement because you don't have the income. On the other hand, you can always argue the other hand. On the other hand, interest rates are very, very low, and maybe you don't want to pay off your mortgage. But if you're going to make a general rule, I think you should have no mortgage in retirement. So I don't necessarily think that's a myth. Another myth that they say is the key to a comfortable retirement is saving money leading up to your retirement. They say that's a myth. The key to a comfortable retirement is saving money leading up to your retirement. The truth, they say, is the key to a comfortable retirement is what you do with your assets during your retirement. Okay, so are you saying they don't need to save money leading up to retirement, or that's not the important thing to save money for retirement leading up to retirement? Of course it is. So I'm thinking, now this is by some, I'm not going to name names, but he's a CFP, Certified Financial Planner. He's a CPA. Another myth, leave your money in tax-deferred retirement accounts as long as possible. That's a myth. And it's saying having all your funds in tax-deferred retirement accounts leaves you vulnerable to higher taxes throughout your retirement because you have to pay taxes when you take it out. Well, I don't know if it's a myth, but maybe you should manage that kind of, taxable and non-taxable investments. See, I think that's all misleading. It really kind of disturbs me because most of the stuff he's saying, it really is depends on you. You, individually, what is your circumstances? And these are not myths, paying off mortgage before retirement. That makes perfect sense because you're not going to have an income in retirement. You're not going to have active income. It's all going to be passive or Social Security or pension. It's all passive. You're not going to be active in retirement. That's what retirement is defined as, not working anymore. Even though I think you should work in retirement because I don't think it's necessarily a good idea not to do anything. Just my opinion. But I think I'm right. I really do. It's time for Invest Talk 101. Okay. Index funds are not all the same, even those that track the same index. Remember, we talked about this yesterday. You should ask some questions about your funds. One of them is there a cheaper option? Compare expense ratios. That's what we said yesterday. If you're buying an S&P 500 from XYZ mutual fund versus some other mutual fund or an ETF, the return should be almost exactly the same if they're buying the same index fund, except for the cost to manage the fund. ETFs are generally cheaper than mutual funds, generally cheaper. But you got to be careful. What if one of the reasons why I like ETFs is because mutual funds, let's say you're in a mutual fund. You're in an S&P 500 mutual fund. You have an S&P 500 mutual fund, and you have an ETF S&P 500. What if there is a panic and everybody wants out? That mutual fund has to sell stocks that track the S&P 500 to give back their clients' money. They have to sell, right? Same thing is true with an ETF to give back their clients' money. Which one is more tax efficient? The ETF will be more tax efficient. Because remember, you're going to have capital gains. You're going to have capital gains paid, and mutual funds declare capital gains one time at the end of the year. So there's a little bit of issues like this. How about tracking error? They can have tracking errors. Which one has less tracking error? Anyway, so you just have to be aware of these things. And if you're just going to go by one rule, look for the, if you're going to do an S&P 500 or some other broad index, look for the cheapest one that charges you the least amount of money. Vanguard is usually down there. They're usually the ones that are cheapest, usually. And that's InvestTalk 101. Do you have a question about today's topic? You're more than welcome to call and ask. 888-99-CHART.
Thousands have attended our Saturday morning wealth conferences over the years. It's 3 hours of useful information, takeaway materials to help you move the needle, take your investing to the next level. Steve and Justin hope you'll join them tomorrow at the San Jose Hyatt House for Global Value Investing, finding opportunities in foreign, domestic, and emerging markets. You can purchase your admission now on investtalk.com or simply join them tomorrow. Doors open at 8:30. And no one will try to sell you anything. That's tomorrow in San Jose at the San Jose Hyatt House.
Good afternoon, Steve and Justin. This is Frank Walnut Creek calling regarding a company called Kansas City Southern, KSU. I'd like you to take a look at it for me and give me an analysis of what you think the situation looks like and if there is a recommended purchase price to wait for. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Okay, KSU is Kansas City Southern. It's a railroad company. Owns and operates domestic and international rail networks in the United States, Mexico, and Panama. And it's a very solid company. It's an almost $12 billion company. It's going to make $5.03 this year, $5.76 next year. It made $4.82 last year. Sales have been slowly coming down. Why? Well, think about oil, gasoline. Gasoline prices go down. That generally is negative for railroad companies. When gasoline prices are high, it's generally positive. Now, I say generally, not all, you know, don't say, well, that's the rule I'm going to use. No. This company is very well run, not a lot of debt, good fundamentals, 15% return on equity. It's the PE range is 16 to 32, and it's at 22 now. So it's not cheap, but it's not expensive. They haven't done well. They've gone sideways for a year, and it looks like about $102 was strong support on this stock, but the problem is that that's a one-year low, and it happened just a month ago. So I need to go back a little further, and I'm going to use a weekly chart to see where stronger support and be more comfortable, which is like $93, $94. That's really a good entry point if you can get it. If oil prices start to creep back up, I wouldn't be surprised if this starts to creep back up. It pays a 1.2% dividend. It's a very solid, long-term, blue-chip type of company that you would hold. I wish it paid a higher dividend, though, to be honest. I would look at other railroads, other good, solid railroads that have these kind of numbers, and I compare the dividends. That's what I would do. 888-99-CHART is our number, 888-992-4278. So what's on your mind? What do you want to talk about? Did you see that crude oil prices rose 3% this week? Have you been paying attention to the earnings numbers and reports coming out? Earnings have been beating expectations, and it's pretty clear big companies, company after company after company, are complaining that the strong U.S. dollar is hurting their numbers, which we all knew was going to happen. And earnings have been beating expectations, but I want you to understand that expectations have been downgraded pretty strong. If you compare earnings this first quarter with last year's first quarter, you'll find that earnings are down, not up. This week, we have GDP numbers coming out, the first look at the first quarter GDP numbers for this year, and that has been ratcheted down all quarter as well. I think the average is about 1.4% GDP growth. From, I think it was like 2.25 or 2.4 before, and now it's down to 1.4. So that's what we're having. That's what it looked like. I want to talk about the most popular places to retire to, if we can. Most popular. And I have a list of 10, in order, 10. But what is really interesting to me is one state has 4 of the 10. One state has 3 of the 10. And the other state, and then one, then it goes down from there. So which one do you think it is? Which one is first and second in this? And now, these are individual cities that they're talking about. But I look at the state. All of them are in the Sun Belt area. But I'll bet you probably can guess number one, but I bet you can't guess number two. And these are actually places or states that retirees are actually going to because they want to. It's not based on, well, they have good health care or they have good facilities for old people or anything like that. It's where people want to go and are going. They are going. Maybe they do have good health care, but that's not how this survey was conducted. Okay? 888-99-CHARGE is our number, 888-992-4278. Did you see the housing numbers out this week? We had existing home sales and new home sales. Existing home sales was much better than expected. New home sales was worse than expected. But if you looked at it, yesterday I talked about it, if you looked at why did the new home sales suffer, and I did look at it, I said I was, I did find out it's because inventory was not very high, there wasn't a lot of new homes being built, and the approval rate seemed to be a little bit tighter. Mortgages, trying to get the mortgages for those new buyers. A little bit tighter. And also it was down because last month of February numbers, the month that for the new home sales, was up really sharp. So the numbers in March were down because of that real strong rebound. But if you look at year ago numbers, much better improved. And builders are not worried. Their sentiment is going up. So I think housing will be okay. I know there are many people who are taking more risk than they know in their portfolios. It's just how it works. I know that people are not sure about that. So, this is what we're going to talk about when I make individual checkup appointments with people. Risks. How much risk are you taking? Do you know what kind of risk you're taking? And what's suitable for you? What's your personal risk tolerance? Anyways, I could do a few a month. If you want to set up a time, just give me a call. Be happy to do. I'm going to be in San Jose on May 6th, by the way. So if you want to meet with me then.
Our podcast distribution is made possible each day by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. There's a new way to get into the conversation on InvestTalk. Send your question or comment via Twitter. You can do that now. The address is at KPP Financial. And of course, our favorite way is by phone because we can have a conversation. 888-99-CHART. Is how to get your question to us anytime.
Okay, let's go to Dale in Redwood City. How you doing, Dale?
Good evening.
Thanks for the call.
Question. Sure. What you thought of the MISCA and storage at the
UK. You got a bad connection there. You said, what did I think of NASCA Gas Storage Partners?
Yes,
okay, well, let's take a look at it. I'm not sure what he said there, but that's okay. Provides natural gas storage services in Alberta, Canada, California, Oklahoma, mid-continent, and the region. So it's a $78 million company, meaning it's really, really, really small. Really small. Always thinking when something's really small also means really high risk. That's what it means. Now, they have lost money ever since 2013, they've not made money. In 2012, they made $1.21 a share. But in 2013, they lost 63 cents. In 14, 26 cents. And this year, they're going to lose $8.23 a share. Wow. Well, you need to find out why. Why are you losing so much money? Remember, it's only a $78 million company. And next year, they're going to lose 94 cents a share. So you kind of want to find out why that is happening. And, of course, if you look at it, it looks like a huge, huge dividend yield, 68%. Well, that's not true. That's not going to happen. They may have paid a one-time dividend sometime back, and that may, now the stock fell from $16 down to $2. So based on $2, what are they paid? What kind of dividend? So, but my personal opinion is you don't buy this stock. This is a roll in the dice stock. This is a mega stock, very, very high risk. I probably wouldn't. I have no interest in this kind of company. Way too volatile, way too small, and just because it was $12 or $14 doesn't mean it'll go back there. Okay. So I would stay away from it. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it, Dale. Boy, you got a bad connection there. Okay. What state has the most people retiring to? Florida. You probably could have guessed Florida. But would you guess number two? I don't think so. It's South Carolina. Naples, Florida is number 10. Fort Myers, then Prescott, Arizona, then Myrtle Beach, Charleston, and Beaufort, South Carolina. Why South Carolina? Because the weather is pleasant and it's very pretty and it's inexpensive to live there. Now, I don't know if I can handle the humidity because I do have humidity in the summertime, but it is very pretty. Then number four is Green Valley, Arizona. So you have Prescott, Arizona and Green Valley, Arizona. Then back to Florida. Number three, Venice. Number two, Sarasota. The number one place that people retire to, most retirees really like, is Asheville, North Carolina. Have you ever been to the Blue Ridge Mountains? Very, very pretty. Notice, no California in there. No Nevada in there. Yep. No states that are in the north or Midwest or north. Nope, because of weather. So I thought that was kind of interesting, actually. Where people want to live, of course, would be in the warmer climates. But South Carolina? That kind of surprised me. Now, Prescott, Arizona, by the way, is a high elevation, 5,400 feet. And if you have never been there, it's also very pretty. It's kind of mountainish, but it gets pretty hot in the summer still. But it's not, it's forest. It's not, more like a pine forest area. Unlike South Carolina, North Carolina, that's, different kinds of forest, but it's very green. Anyways, just thought to throw that out there. 888-99-CHARTER is our number, 888-992-4278. And you know we're going to have our conference tomorrow. It's in San Jose Hyatt House in San Jose. Love to see you there if you can. Please, time, you can sign up. And if you, I try to get a number. So please sign up if you can. Before we close for the hour, if you're looking to maximize return on your investment in your retirement portfolio, think a little bit about foreign stocks. Not fly-by-night foreign stocks. I'm not talking about little tiny ones. I'm talking about a good, solid company. If you want to get a list, come to our conference tomorrow, Saturday morning, tomorrow morning, April 25th, 9 to noon. You can register now at investtalk.com. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley, and for Justin Klein and everyone at KPP Financial, thank you for listening. And we'll hope you join us again on the next investment.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.